guys coming in, and of course our visitors, and a couple of my grandchildren and grandsons. I won't say children. Good to have you guys in. We're going to briefly be in Proverbs 31 in just a second. Want to talk a little bit about mothers. It says Mother's Day is. Did you know that, by the way? It's Mother's Day. I think we've said that about a dozen times so far. But good to have all of you guys. And again, this morning in class, we prayed and just, hasn't the rain been great? I mean, it can get really dry here. And so it's nice when it rains and rains and rains. And let's just be sure and praise God for that. Thank Him for taking care of us. Also, let's pray for some folks that are going to be out of town from us for quite a while. Jay and Fiorella and their children, will be going to Peru. I don't know if this is their last Sunday or next. Does anybody know? Anyway, they're going to be out of town in Peru. They're going to be out of country in Peru for like 3.5 months. So they're going to have to reapply for membership. I'll be sure to tell them that. I'll fill some more paperwork out or something. They're going to be gone so long. But such a wonderful couple to have here. And so you guys be sure and say something to them and let them know you'll be thinking about them. You know, Fiorella's father has not been healthy for quite a while. And seems like he's all right at the moment. But it's one of those things that may turn out in a way that, you know, would be very sad for that family. And so be sure and pray for Fiorella's father in Peru. And we'll hear, I'm sure, occasionally from them as well. Mark, raise your hand so folks, Mark has been with us for not very long, just a few months now, and just a wonderful guy. His father and mother are members at Brentwood Oaks. Your father's an elder, am I right, sir? Oh, he was. Okay. At any rate, Mark is a wonderful guy. Mark's going to be going. This is your last Sunday with us for 3 months? 5 months. Okay. You also will have to apply for membership again when you finally come back. And then we have Perry, which Perry in the red shirt, who's gone now. And he's going to be gone for, 4 months. He's going up to Colorado to get away from the Texas heat. Now, what an idea. That, you know, it's, you just have to learn how to live with the Texas heat. But he's going to go on out. And I'll see him in a couple of weeks. We're going to ride motorcycles around in circles in northeast New Mexico. And looking forward to that. So I'll be out for a couple of weeks after this next week. And so that's just stuff to think about and pray about and people to know. Is anybody else going away from us for a while and may need to reapply for membership at some point? No? Okay. You can be out a week or two, you know, and that's okay. But beyond that, you're going to have to reapply. You know, I'm kidding. You know, I'm kidding. Getting over to the elder side thing, let me just say that the eldership, when I came here 13 years ago, do you know it's been 13 years, almost exactly, 13 years that I've been here. Those men called me down from East Texas, got me out from under that, you know, glass dome into a normal life here in Austin, and had 5 elders, and one moved away and has since passed away, and 2 recently have passed away, and we still miss Bill and Ted, do we not? And such wonderful, godly, wonderful, wonderful people. And had led this church for I don't know how many years. And then Roy and Wilson have been up to the last about a month or 6 weeks, something like that, decided that both of them being in their 90s, this was time for them to step down. And so we've lost all 5 now, the ones that I became with, and I feel a lot of, I don't know what, burden on the shoulders to do anything like what they did. I don't know about James, but James is probably feels the same way. In fact, when this thing happened today, I kept thinking, it's not going to happen. Oh, please, Lord, let it not happen. It's not going to happen. And, of course, the prayer was said, and I guess, boom, you are. And so So I want to talk about that, but first, you know, the leadership of the local church is really what I want to touch on, but then I want to get to Proverbs 31 for a little bit. It's 10 minutes after, so the purpose is to be as brief as possible and say some things. I have an outlined thing here about the leadership of the local church that I put together this week that you're welcome to have if you want it. Let me know. I'll make you copies or I'll send it to you by way of email. It may not be that important to you, but you might wish to look at it. The Bible has a lot to say about the church in general, but in the local church as well. You get into the book of Acts and you find a little local church is just popping into existence as Peter and John and then Paul and Silas and Timothy go around the Asia Minor area and into Greece and Rome, Italy, and of course in the area around Jerusalem and north of there, into all the different little towns. And so a lot of your Bible is made up of some of those towns that became churches, have churches in them, Ephesus, Colossae, Thessalonica, and Philippi, and Corinth. And you could go on and see that in each one of those, the Apostle Paul and others went around to those churches after they had established them and appointed elders into those places. Paul writes Titus in Titus 1 and tells him, I left you in Crete that you might set in order the things that are lacking. And the first thing he was told to do was to appoint elders in each of the churches. As we've said before, and this is really a unique thing, we thought the Methodists invented this in the 1800s, but actually Titus was the first one, rode a little donkey, went from town to town, most likely rode a donkey, I don't know, but went around from town to town and preached at the different little churches there, and his job was to cover the entire Isle of Crete, and he was to appoint elders at each one of those churches. And so we find the leadership in the local church is provided for by God and gives us this idea of God being in charge of the church. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And when we get to the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, we see the Holy Spirit falling on the apostles and them preaching the gospel. Really the very first time the gospel was preached, recorded for us, and Peter is preaching it, and the people respond. And so the first church that was ever organized was organized on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. And as time goes on, we get to chapter 15, we learn that there were elders by then in the church at Jerusalem and provided, therefore, the leadership. So briefly, let me just say, I know, too late, right? Not quite brief enough, you know. Three little thoughts here. First of all, there's a practical necessity for every organization to be organized in some way with some form of government. We live in a democracy, and we even, but yet we have senators and congressmen and women, and we have governors, we have city councils, we have mayors, we have different people that provide leadership. And so there's this practical necessary for that to take place. Of course, nationally, but also in God, he directed churches to establish these kinds of things. Even things like Paul teaching to the men to be better husbands, and that they have the leadership in the church family, in a Christian family. I know many people today in the world resist any notion of that, and yet God understood there needed to be some kind of leadership even in the family. And we all play different roles in that case as husbands and wives. You know, of course the church is no exception. The Church of Christ, Christ is Christ's body. It is Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. It is his kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this earth, to Pilate. And so we have the leadership is in Jesus' hands. And to clear up any misconceptions about that, he is our King of kings and Lord of lords. Can I get an amen on that? He is the leader of the church. And God has put that into his hands. In fact, he said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus saying that to him, to me, Jesus said. And God has handed that authority to him. And so when we talk about authority in the church, and we think about elders, and the Bible does use the term authority, we know it doesn't mean that kind of authority. Jesus is the only one who has that ultimate authority and can make all the rules. And he's the only one that can make the rules. We agree with that, don't we? It's not up to the elders to make the rules, especially spiritual rules, especially that. But in other ways, too, it's a leadership that involves the entire congregation. And so Jesus then, of course, has determined that the local church should be governed by an eldership, a plurality, we find, it seems, in every place. It's always been a plurality, and so we have just made the conclusion that, therefore, every church needs that sort of thing. And so the three reasons, or the three terms, I'm sorry, for the eldership would be elder, which just means an old guy, you know. There's that, you know, they've been there a while, and so they maybe evidently, hopefully, learned things over their lifetime. Shepherds, which would be people where we use the term pastor, comes from that term, and we are, and the Greek word is poimen, so we don't get pastor out of that, but what we get pastor out of is the fact that we put sheep out into a pasture. And so the pastor is someone who maintains the pasture. And so there's the shepherd involved. And then, of course, the third term is overseers, episkopos, skopos, and epi meaning upon, so to see over. Where we get the word supervisor, if you will, super means the same thing, and visor means the same thing, over to see. And so the idea of keeping watch is really one of the first things when we think about the overseer. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul's writing talking to the elders at Ephesus. They've come down to the shoreline where his little boat has come in. He's on his way to Rome, to Corinth, and he's going to be arrested there and on. But at any rate, he says, you're not going to see me anymore. And so they pray for him and stuff. But he begins to tell them, you need to be shepherds for the church. You need to keep watch, Acts 20 and verse 28, because there are wolves that are coming into the church. Paul writes to Titus in verse 9 of chapter 1, speaking of the elders now again, he must hold firmly, the elders, the overseer, the shepherds, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that he had been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So there's an element of teaching involved in an eldership role. And most elders have the ability, though they don't always do it. There's the apt to teach qualification in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Apt means able, not right on the brink of, but able to teach, and so there needs to be that involved, and it helps to keep watch to be able to teach what is true. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 10 and following, if you want to go and look at that, you'll see there the purpose, because there are people who are bringing things into the church that are not true and wrong, and they're distorting the truth, and they're causing a lot of people to have distress in their lives spiritually. And so the elders are to evolve in to work with Titus, who was the local preacher, to keep that from happening, that to teach those people themselves. The second responsibility is to feed the flock. Acts 20, which we just talked about, he tells the elders there of Ephesus to feed the flock of whom the Lord has made you overseers, which would include teaching as well. 1 Timothy 5:17 is a passage I want you to know, because some people asked, can a preacher be an elder? And is there a conflict? Well, there could be. Let me just say that. But biblically, yes, they can. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. Please at least go home and look at that to think about it, because there have been some questions about that. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while he is treading out the grain. And so here is a text by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who is at the church, by the way, prior to his being, Paul being with the elders in Acts 20, writing to Timothy, who is the local preacher at the church at Ephesus, telling him that any elders that you have in your church, in that church, should be able to direct the affairs of the church, to guard, to protect, but have a work in preaching and teaching. So there's that. Feed the flock. And finally, number three would be to admonish. The word simply means to caution. Could also mean to reprove. There are times, moms and dads, you know this, speaking of Mother's Day, there are times when you need to take your children aside and say, you know, don't do that. This is what you should be doing. This is causing trouble with your brothers and sisters, or with yourself. And so we as parents take our kids aside sometimes and admonish them. It's not a bad word. It's a good thing. And so evidently that's part of the work, you know, scripturally. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 12, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those, which just means to perceive and see, to accept, to look to pay attention to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Again, sometimes that word also means to warn. It could be positive, to exhort. And so, of course, that's that. So how should we respond? I would recommend what Paul said, or the writer in Hebrews 13:17. They're not quite sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Strong evidence says maybe Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, may have written the book of Hebrews. I know that doesn't matter, but, you know, for me it does. I mean, I those kind of things are interesting. Who wrote this? Hebrews doesn't give an author. But it is an inspired book, and the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work may be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. I love that passage for all the different things it says, but partly because if I can go back to our previous eldership and say to all of them, there was a burden on their hearts for you, you know. And Roy especially, when he would bring up one of the things that has always weighed heavily on him, is that he must give an account for the people in his congregation that he was over. And Roy, you've said it more than once, you know, over the years. And when you've said it, and when he said it, there was always a crack in his voice, and sometimes a tear or two. And James, I don't know if you're with me on this, but that's the heavy burden right there. And I've told Shirley, kicking and screaming, I'm not really quite sure I want that kind of responsibility, but I went ahead and accepted it. But I've always thought of Roy and how heavy that is, and suddenly I feel it, you know, and I'm sure James does as well. But we felt like, the church felt like, that we needed as a people to have that biblical leadership that churches should have and need to have, and that then we work together as a church all at once, not being led in any kind of fiat, bossy kind of direction, which you've never experienced here, by the way. We've had a great eldership here in the past. and I hope it continues. But the idea is for all of us to get together and talk about our congregation as we talk about the future. Where do we go from here? You know, we are an inner city congregation where many of our former members, a lot of your kids and grandkids, have moved out to the suburbs, and so we're at a point where we're looking at, well, how do we continue? How do we continue, and where do we go? If not, what do we do? And so those are things we want to talk about as a people. And so again, thank you for listening to me, and I'm sure, James, I hope I've said pretty much what you're thinking as well. Can we talk about moms next week? Because I got some Mother's Day stuff. And it's really good. And it's the Bible, it's not me. But there's some really good super stuff on Mother's Day. And I'd like to push this off and do that because it's 25 minutes after and we want to close with a song and a prayer. And let's all stand now, if you would, please. And we're going to have a word of prayer once you stand, and then we'll sing this song. And if there is a need, anybody has been thinking of coming forward to have that need met, then please do that when we sing this song. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our church here, and we thank you for your wisdom in keeping all of the authority in the hands of Jesus, but also assuming churches need some kind of governance and some kind of leadership. And so we thank you for our deacons. We thank you for our elders in all of our churches. And we thank you, Lord, also for our wise men and women who provide that mature leadership in the church. And we know, Father, that you want all of this to be there because it's good for each other and to encourage each other and for churches to move forward in a good way. And so we pray, Father, you'll bless our congregation and bless each one of us. We pray that we might be fully united as we think of our future as a church here. Be with us now as we close out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.